Accession number 30143, Reel 2.
Yes, so there's a sort of interim period where I just concentrated on working. Obviously, the Territorial Army featured strongly in my life. As I said, took up cross-country running, orienteering is my big thing. So I love maps and sort of pictorial representation. I got a job where I was commissioned to draw sort of behind the scenes at the Times newspaper in Wapping.
End of Reel 1, Matthew okay. Cook. Matthew Cook, Reel 2.
Okay, that was quick. I commissioned to record life behind the Times, and this came from the previous job I did, where I spent a year drawing the Cloth Workers Company, one of the livery companies in the city. And I didn't know much about the livery companies, but they invited me along. They've got a continuous archive from 16 something or other, and it was the archivist who thought, well, let's get someone along to actually record what we do, but do it pictorially, which I think had been done in the 1800s. So they invited me along to some of these, for me, quite curious but fascinating ceremonies. And I think this is where I started drawing the black and white line drawings. A lot of it was so immediate. It was often black and white line with a few washes. Always various ceremonies, always of the Lord Mayor and always in the city. And there's one church service that's underground that no one outside the cloth workers has ever seen. And just some fascinating, quirky things. I'm inherently nosy, so it was a lovely treat to get to look behind closed doors and look in the archives. It was fascinating. So it's a nice thought that I'm part of this continuous archive. Anyway, so that those drawings I'd shown to the Times newspaper, and it was a head of design, a guy called David Driver, who picked up on these and thought a similar thing. In fact, Linda Kitson had last drawn the Times, I think, when they moved to Wapping from Fleet Street. I think that was the move. It was sort of 10 or 15 years prior to my efforts. So it's funny how these sort of things keep coming back. But the world of illustration is quite small, so there's not that many people. So, yes, I had this wonderful job. The Times was planning to move. It was still in Wapping, but it was moving just outside. It had basically outgrown the premises, and they had bought some buildings just outside, which they now connected by a footbridge. They weren't sure when the move was going to happen, and so I ended up drawing for them, I think, for about 2.5 years. What originally was meant to just be a year. And I had sort of free rein of the place. I would go along at least once or twice a month and pick different bits. It might be the sports desk, it might be the print rooms where you have to wear ear defence and go along at 3 a.m. when the papers are being printed. It might be the editor's office and I'm home interviewing. Paddy Ashdown, I think, and I'm just sitting in on these interviews, and they have various meetings in the morning where they sort of discuss what's actually going to be in the, I think they call it morning prayers, where they discuss what's going to be in the paper that day, what are the stories, relevant stories. And it's just fascinating just seeing it from the top to the bottom, and then the lorries, the distribution. It was people in industry, so it was ideal for me. And again, I'm nosy, so I could root around, and I'm sure there are things I miss because no one really knew. I was working for the design department, and they didn't know the whole newspaper, so they didn't know everything. So I think I covered most of it, but I sort of missed out on the archives and some obvious things. In hindsight, I wish I had. And the Times used some of the drawings as their Christmas cards, which they would send to all the sort of various leaders around the world and prime ministers, and I think the Queen gets it. But generally, the drawings were for their archives, so another archive again. I think rather foolishly they chopped up some of the sketchbooks. I kept them in rather nice, I found these sort of cloth bound sketchbooks in a London art shop, and I must have handed them a huge 5 or 6 of these, literally hundreds of drawings, probably 300 drawings, and I think they chopped some of them up and sold some, which seems a bit of an odd thing. I think they regret it now, because suddenly they'd sold 20 or 30. I don't know if it was literally to claw back some money. Seemed very strange. So the archives were fuming that they'd chopped them up a bit.
Was this unique to the times? You know, the fact that they were so keen on original illustration as a newspaper.
Yeah, that's
a unique thing for the
time. I think they are the oldest still running newspaper in the UK. So yes, they've had a great tradition. Obviously, pre-photography, there's always been artists sketching back from the Crimea War, and so yes, it's been a great tradition. But ironically, it's changed now. Literally, since they've gone tabloid 2 or 3 years ago, I've only had 1 or 2 tiny jobs for them. Whereas it's a lot of the other papers, I think the Guardian's using far more drawings. So it swings and roundabouts, and I think it's fashion. Whoever the latest editor is, he puts his stamp on it, and also a lot of it's finance. I know they're going through lots of staff cuts and things, in which case they'll use stock photography. It's far cheaper than using their own photographers and things. So it's mixture of economics and what's fashionable. I'm not quite sure if drawing's in or out at the moment. Somewhere in between. But that certainly got me very well known in a lot of the departments. So I was used to this strange bod coming in once or twice a month, scruffy urchin sitting in the back, you know, sitting on the floor. I'd sometimes stand on tables, stand on chairs, just tending to get an interesting or slightly different view. And their offices were quite good. You could lots of split level, so you could stand above people's desks and look down, and what would be a very ordinary, you know, 4 people huddled around 4 computers on a desk, suddenly from above you'd realise that the desks had bright red matting and suddenly looked quite graphic from a different angle. So yeah, it became very exciting, and I'd use the sketchbooks and place them a bit like their design. I would place the drawings would go off the page or across the page or up the page. Yes, it wouldn't always be slap bang in the middle, either leading you off wanting to know what's around the corner. Anyway, it was a delightful job. Again, no brief, just draw whatever catches your eye. It was just a joy, absolute joy.
Did you find when you were up on your table, whatever drawing, and you mentioned earlier, you know, in the offices, were people self-conscious? You know, I wonder if there's a difference sketching something like that and doing photographs.
It's funny you said that. People are self-conscious. I'd always go and introduce myself to whoever the head of department was, and he'd go, yeah, fine, draw away. And yes, I was aware people are self-conscious, and I know that for the first half hour, everyone's going to be sitting upright or take their feet off a desk. Yes, they're going to be aware that someone's... And I would take photographs as well as sketch. And I know now, I won't really do anything for half an hour. I'll just let them get used to me. And then, once they start relaxing and the feet go back up on the desk, that's when I'll start drawing them, because you know, people look so much more, instead of sitting upright at the computer, it looks like a stage managed, and it's not very interesting. But when they slouch, or they get their arms behind their head, you know, suddenly it becomes, just that position looks more interesting. And I found that now with the Iraq stuff, it's the same thing. Going up to a unit, they'd be very, very conscious that there's someone not in military uniform floating around, and then I'd very quickly get bored, and that's when I'd start the drawing. And it's, you know, about a month ago I was drawing some executives for an oil exploration company, and the same thing, they're all incredibly stiff and a bit awkward, even though they're all sort of lords and what have you. So give it 20 minutes of chatting about the rugby or whatever's on, Then they start relaxing and the hands go in the pockets, and yes, it was a hard learnt thing, but you almost just got to relax them into it and just show that you're not a threat. Yeah. There were lots of other interesting jobs at the same time. I was doing lots of drawings for English Heritage, where I was sent round drawing castles around the country, which again, a lot more walking and sketching. It was just ideal. I'd usually have to call on either girlfriends or my father to drive. I was very, very late in taking my driving test. I think it was a fear of driving in London, which I've sort of overcome now. So I only took my driving test probably about 5 years ago. It was only just before I went to Iraq, so I was quite pleased I had. The Times, yes, now I was quite well in with the Times, and I was doing quite a few jobs with them. And to keep in with this theme of using drawings, they chose me to cover the election. This would be the 97 election, when Tony Blair first came in. And obviously all the other papers would use photographs, and this was the first trial one, so it was a bit of an unknown. It was where the editor and a political commentator and a sort of financial economic commentator, so the three of them would go along and interview all the main leaders, so it'd be Paddy Ashton, the Lib Dems, Labour and Conservative, and it was literally in the sort of week and a half prior to the election. And so I'd go along, meetings would often be about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I'd have to do the drawing, finish drawing by 5, and it was tape whisked away and had to be printed, so it's, for me, terrifying pressure, and you had to get a likeness. If you didn't, well, whatever you'd drawn was going to be in the next day's edition, so it was a lot of pressure. And I think the editor had the same pressure, because they only had to come up with a copy by that time as well. So my drawings were of them sitting down, wherever it was. One of them was Tony Blair's house, and they're sitting having a cup of coffee, one of his sons made, with the editor and the other characters sort of interviewing him. And another time it was down to Downing Street with John Major, literally 2 days before the election. I think he knew he was going to lose office, but after the editor and people had left, I'd done some rather bad scribbles of the meeting. John Major asked if he could have a look at the sketches, and everyone had disappeared, including his aides, and he said, "Oh, if you've got a moment, I'll show you around some of the paintings in Downing Street." So I had to pinch myself. There was John Major. Everyone else had gone. They were wondering where I'd gone. And he was showing me the sort of Constable paintings, and that was just amazing. But same deadline, so there'd be three or four of these drawings in the weeks leading up, but very exciting, and I don't think it's really been done before, not that I know of. I hadn't noticed it, and thankfully 4 years later they asked me to do it again, so sort of fast. Very similar thing, except I think I went down to the West Country like a couple of weeks prior to follow some of the build up to it, and then did the interviews again at Houses of Parliament, and I can't remember the Labour. Yeah, it was fascinating. But again, it wouldn't have looked brilliant as a photograph. It was just, four or five very middle-aged, quite portly guys in suits sitting around chatting on sofas. So it's, it can be quite a tough job to make it look interesting. But again, I would look for a quirky view, or just to change it. So I'd ask before I stood on someone's chair in Downing Street. But I would try and get slightly elevated or crouched down in the background. Just change the view a bit instead of normal eye level.
How are you coping with the likeness issue? This obviously hadn't been your thing beforehand, I imagine, from what you've been saying.
No, I still wouldn't really. I shy away from portraits as such, although I do it more than I realise now. I do a lot of business portraits for magazines and things, but I would like to have the option of who I do a portrait of. There are some people I'd like to draw and others I wouldn't. It's a tough thing. And it can be very difficult. I'm still learning on that one.
Yes, there's one in here, isn't there? That's the sort of scene you're describing.
In fact,
that was
one of them, yes.
Yes, on page of your very nice catalogue, page 8, isn't it? Of this was produced, I think, quite recently, wasn't it?
Yes, this was 2005.
2005. Yes, yeah. I see what you mean.
And I put Alistair Campbell
yes.
listening
That's
in the back.
Interesting, isn't it? Yes.
That was a bit of a joke. Yes, it was very.
I think, I rather. And his look, isn't it? What are you saying?
It always butt in. You know,
Right. So, well, that must have been a unique view of, you know, the election process and the sort of leadership and interviews and things.
Yes, it was. I was never really into politics, but that's really drawn me in. It really has. I think at the time I was also... I used to shoot pistols and had a gun safe at home, and they were just banning the pistols. So it was just at that time, maybe I was becoming aware, and I was writing to ministers and things. And, yes, I was becoming politically aware. So it was a fascinating time. And to actually meet these people is intriguing. But I was usually worrying so much about the actual drawings that half the interviews I never even heard.
So we're getting quite near. That was 2001, was it?
Yes, the last one. They did ask me to do it this last election, but for some reason it didn't happen. I think, again, that the size had gone tabloid and the timings were even shorter, that it just wasn't going to work. So a bit of a shame. In fact, the one before, the Guardian newspaper phoned me up and asked me to do the same thing. Could I draw the election? Which I had to turn down. I'd say no, the Times had just asked me to do it.
But did anyone else do that? I can't remember.
Not that I was aware of, no.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So I think quite brave for the newspaper to make that choice, which sort of led on to them... probably even braver to use a war artist to cover, not cover all the war, they obviously have their star photographers, but to give it, I think, quite a brave move. So.
Yes. You obviously were interested in Linda Kitson and her work, what she'd done in the Falklands. So were you becoming keen to sort of, there were a lot of conflicts now, weren't there, at the end of the Cold War? Were you keen, did you want to get into that, you know, the war art field?
I think so, but I've got to admit, I saw myself going more likely to go as a soldier. As I said, I joined the TA just as the Gulf War was going on. All our training was for chemical warfare. It took me quite a long time to get my parachute wings because all the aircraft were sent over to Kuwait and Saudi.
That would be the first Gulf War.
Yes.
It? Yes, the 1991. Yes. Oh, yes, sorry, I can
so
see
I saw
that,
myself
yeah.
more likely to go as a soldier than drawing, and I don't think it. I think I did actually write rather naively soon after I left art school to the Imperial War Museum saying. Do you need a war artist? I don't think there was even a conflict on, but I just wanted to write. I don't think I even got a reply. So. Had to try. But I don't think I hadn't connected the two. I could see myself going there as a soldier, but I hadn't really thought about war art. Yes, then Bosnia happened, and again I thought I'd more likely go out there as a soldier. For some reason that. I don't know, maybe I was either travelling a lot, but for some reason it didn't affect me that much, the war. The Falklands had more of an impression on me as a child.
Yeah. Were you interested in the war artists? You know, were there any influenced you?
Forgotten about that. Yes, again, partly influenced from my father. John Piper was a huge influence, and my father had a couple of John Piper prints at home, and yes, I've just sort of grown up with books on the bookshelf. And look at the artist's name. Felix Topolsky, thank you. Do you want to take over here?
I know that you mentioned on the phone.
And Paul Hogarth, who is an illustrator, who covered, I think he's been to Northern Ireland and Cyprus. I think the Imperial War Museum have commissioned him. But again, great reportage illustrators. So hugely influenced me. And in fact, while I was at art school, for one afternoon a week, I used to go and work in Felix Topolsky's studio underneath the arches. And it was just doing any odd jobs, from making the coffee to sorting out piles of drawings to trying to stop the roof leaking. But again, another influence on me was just chatting to him. He was so sort of serene, and he must have been quite elderly, but he would have such a weird eclectic mix of visitors. There'd be anything from major generals to female bodybuilders to politicians. It was such a weird mix of people who'd come to his door, and he'd just sit down and either sketch them or paint them. It was just wonderful, real life. And he had been and done everything, just from helicopter gunships in Vietnam to the Polish cavalry in 1939. Just everything he had seen and done, I was just awestruck. So yes, deep down, these characters were, I'd love to have emulated them. I still don't feel worthy, but in my own tiny way, I suppose it's, yeah, drawing in a rock, I suppose it's certainly trying to follow in their footsteps. Think what happened. Yes, those are the main influences. So yes, the bulk of them are Second World War war artists, fairly established.
And you did see Linda Kitson as well.
Yes, Linda Kitson was, yes, suddenly sort of revived that thirst. But I think a lot of my influences, maybe my subdued colours, come from those sort of 1940s, 1950s Nash type colours. And yeah, big influence that era. Yes, and obviously Linda Kitson's slightly odd one out, and Paul Hogarth would be slightly older than her, but those are probably the two contemporary ones. But they're again slightly more illustrative than artists. You know, they both do book covers and wine labels like the rest of us.
Well, this is end of Reel 2, Michael Scott. That's a good time to